Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. In his message titled, The Feel of Freedom, Reverend David Williams tells us that we are presented with lots of options, and we have been given the freedom to choose which options we will take. Our choices will either build up or tear down. God wants us to make this world a better place. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather here as a free people gathering freely. Our freedom, our liberty is just a part of who we are and how we are made. But one of the challenges we have as free beings is really living in to the gift of freedom that God has given us, because we typically also bear with us so much of our pasts that sometimes there are parts of that past, parts of ways of our thinking that we can't get past. There are elements to our lives that we should be able to move beyond and yet find ourselves falling back and back again into old bitternesses, old broken relationships, old angers. And instead of embracing the liberty to move on into new graces, we find ourselves trapped in patterns that tear us apart. Right now, let's admit that as we come into this space together, we struggle with that. Let's admit it in the prayer of confession. We'll pray it together in unison, as printed in the bulletin, and then go to God in the silence of our hearts as we speak those prayers that are between us and God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we carry with us the memories, joys, and wounds of a lifetime. But though we try to live into joy, we often find ourselves unable to move beyond the broken parts of our past. The slights and insults and moments of sorrow build in us and weigh down upon us. They stir us to anger and often drive us to act in ways that shatter relationships. Forgive us our inability to find your heart of reconciliation, God of mercy. In Christ's name, forgive us. Hear now the prayers that we speak from the depth of our spirit, spoken in the silence of our hearts. Let's pray in silence. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to what is good. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds to once again hear God's word in Scripture.
For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say. Do not gratify the desires of flesh, for what flesh desires is opposite to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposite to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, now you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentious, intolerance, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit.
This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Been thinking a lot about freedom this last week, mostly because motorcycling is freedom. And, you know, I've always thought of it that way. I mean, I've always embraced the deep liberation that comes from being completely unencumbered by the several tons of metal that we feel obligated to wrap around ourselves and cart with us everywhere we go. And this last week, I don't know whether it's midlife or what, but this was the motorcyclingest week of my entire existence, as me and the big tan motor chicken wrapped up a 1,000 miles of summer riding, to and from rehearsals, to and from weddings, to and from North Carolina, back and forth from here. It just added up, and I love the freedom of it. I love the fact that I am, while I am on a bike, just completely free to ignore my phone. Totally disappears. I can shut down the endless churn of our compulsive interconnectedness and just be. And yeah, because at a brisk highway pace that's the happy place of a 1,000cc motorcycle, you can't even glance at that text or email notification. You know, safety purpose, you know, safety. You are instead just where you are. And motorcycles mean freedom for you. And I know a lot of people love to ride. I'm also not a herd rider. I mean, I see them rolling by, the loners and the rebels and their groups of 3 or 5 or 1,500, and they're all rugged individualists who've managed somehow to coordinate their outfits almost as closely as a JV Palm squad. It's cool in its own way. I mean, it is. There's a coolness to it, like that column of bikers who thundered through town to celebrate veterans recently, but that's not for me. Riding in a big group means you've got a plan. You know, you got to designate leaders, you've got to create route maps and expectations, and the next thing you know, there are committees involved, and there are rules, and there are regulations, and the like, and I suffer from post-presbytery committee anxiety disorder, so I try to do that as little as possible. I ride to be free, but it's a peculiar form of freedom, because it's a freedom that brings with it connection, even if you make a point of riding alone. It connects you to the reality of where you are and what you're doing, and you have to set your pace according to that. It makes demands of you, even in its freedom. I can't ride for hours and hours and hours and hours because it hurts, because I'm old. And you feel things, you're connected. When you're moving towards this glowering dark sky storm, you feel the temperature gradients as you approach it. You have the freedom to be sweaty when it's hot and to be numb when it's cold. Freedom brings with it connection. And writing helps remember to you that freedom is a complex thing. Freedom is a strange thing. I mean, when I was a kid, I chafed at what I felt were the restrictions of childhood. I wanted to be free, and I felt that childhood limited me. Why couldn't I go where I wanted? Why couldn't I do where I wanted? I'm 5 years old. Why can't I drive yet? I'm 8. Why won't my parents fund a hang gliding adventure for me? I'm 12. I should have a moped. I should be allowed to do these things, I would say. Aren't I a person? Aren't I, and here there'd be a dramatic pause, aren't I American? Didn't God make me free? I yearned for that day I would finally grow up, because as we know, grown-ups can do whatever they want, whenever they want. Man, that did not pan out. Growing up doesn't work that way. You reach your adulthood as a fully fledged, honest-to-God, bona fide citizen of the United States of America, and you're at liberty. Only for some reason, your boss expects you to go to work at 9 and at 7:30 on days when you've got a departmental meeting, and you find you actually have to do that work, and that work sometimes has you at the office long past the point at which the school bell has rung. You might want to leave, but the argument that God made us free doesn't work with your mortgage lender. And though we're free, life fills itself up to overflowing with commitments that seem to demand all from us, to work, to a spouse, to kids, who then as they get older complain bitterly to you about their lack of freedom. And you think, oh, if you knew, child, if you knew. And that's the peculiarity of freedom. We are all created free, but who among us is utterly free? We're not. We're always invariably, paradoxically, both free and interconnected. And I think it is that is part of the deep point that the Apostle Paul is trying to make in the passage that Amelia read for us today from his letter to the church at Galatia. It starts out kind of peculiar. Begins, you know, a little odd, but then we get into Paul talking about freedom in a way that should get every patriotic heart a-fluttering. You know, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. You can just see libertarian Jesus standing there next to Washington as he crosses the Delaware, the icy breeze making his robe flutter heroically and whipping through his perfectly conditioned shoulder-length hair. It's enough to make you take a little American flag and wave it. Go, libertarian Jesus. But after this statement, Paul starts getting into the fact that freedom has boundaries. Call to freedom, yes, but freedom not existing is an opportunity to indulge the self, but to serve one another. We're supposed to what? We're supposed to serve one another? We can't just do whatever we want? We're not supposed to submit to the yoke of slavery. We're supposed to be free. Paul, you said you're supposed... This is the point at the Libertarian Convention where the people who are still clothed start booing. You know, it's like, boo, no, we're free. Paul lays out this dynamic between freedom and our call to love one another, and he's not contradicting himself. He's playing with that tension to show us something important about what it means to follow Jesus. Paul understands the nature of the church. He understands what Christ has called us to do. And he's arguing with opponents in Galatia who've missed that point. He's arguing with a group of people in Galatia who say, really following Jesus is about strictly following rules and regulations, about what you can eat, about how you have to live. But Paul resists that. He says it's not about what you eat or don't eat. It's not about how and when you observe the Sabbath. It's not about any of these laws. It's about how we approach God. How we approach God by allowing, through faith, God to live and work in us in the same way that God lived and worked in Jesus. And Paul knew that was a revolutionary thing. It was the most important thing that differentiated this new Christian faith from all of the other traditions that were moving in the Greco-Roman world. And that's why Paul is so vocal and so aggressive in pressing back against those who want to turn back the clock. In Christ, in this faith, we are made free from the law. But though Paul was declaring our independence from the oppression of the law, he wasn't saying that we are free from one another. We are not free from each other and caring for each other. And elsewhere in his letters, he talks about the church and our lives in Christ as being all part of one thing, as we are all made part of Christ. Instead of viewing our obedience to demands that are outside of us, Paul saw that a life lived according to this love that Jesus taught and embodied, that's something different. It's freedom, but it's freedom that expresses itself through love and care for others. And he reminds us of that by laying out these lists. Here are things you really shouldn't do. Ways that you can view other people either as objects to be used or opponents to be destroyed. And then he flips that and says, here are ways that you can connect, sustain, and support each other through kindness and grace and patience. And in that he is saying, we are free but not wholly independent because we depend on others, on our friends, on our families, on our communities, on the teachings that guide us, on the things that give us integrity as persons. We as human beings require other human beings, even as we might like to imagine that we are our own self-sufficient little islands. That just isn't real. That's not how we were made. That's not how the world is. And when we pretend that that freedom to which God has called us has no boundaries, just do whatever you want, whatever feels good, we deceive ourselves. Freedom does not mean destroying. It does not mean tearing down. As Paul lists those ways we harm and destroy each other, he knows that to yield to such things is to become enslaved to them. Hatreds and angers and bickerings, those places where we seek to control end up just controlling us. They have to be cast aside because ultimately they're not just enemies to our unity. They're enemies to our liberty, to our freedom as created persons. That freedom to which we are called has nothing to do with those broken things. It is instead a freedom to love and rejoice in one another, to always support one another, to find our gifts expressed in that care for one another, and to live fully aware that as children of God's promise, we have nothing to fear from that expression of our freedom. That is a freedom to which Christ has called all of us. And let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Our lives are filled with choices and potential, and when we walk out these doors, we're free to do with them as we will. That is how God has made us, that is how God has fashioned us. But we often take that freedom and we misuse it. We use it to beat other people down. We use it as a reason to hate and feel separate. And that's not why we were blessed with it. We were blessed with that freedom so that we might take any one of the thousands of choices that allow us to build others up in grace. There are going to be so many different opportunities this week to show grace in so many forms to so many people. All of us will have that be part of the reality we encounter. And from Paul's teaching and the message of Jesus, I'll ask us all to remember how free we are to bring joy to the world. As you move in that world this week, remember that that is the purpose of the freedom God has given us, and use that freedom to bring more grace into a world that needs it. That's the purpose of the gospel, that's what makes it good news, and that's why we walk that path together. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.
Thank you.